Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's June 1st, 2020. Well, it's that special time of the month. It's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. And Mickey, well, everything's going back up again, huh?
Lots of black on the board, Kerry. The old adage, sell in May and go away, was thrown away in 2020. The latter half of the month was total risk on for the U.S. markets. Dow closed up over 4%, 25,383. S&P 500 closed at 3044, up 4.5%. NASDAQ is up something like 6-7% this year now.
I know.
It closed at 94.90, up almost 7% as the big techs and the media have really benefited from these lockdowns. Russell 2000, also small business index, had a very good month. In fact, over the last 2 months, it's up, I'm doing the math, 20%. But we got to realize that these are big pubcos.
Right.
And I think it takes $150 million market cap to make the Russell 2000. It closed at 1394, but it does not account for the carnage in small businesses, storefront businesses, mom and pops, franchisers throughout the land. And that's going to come home to bear at some point.
Yeah, well, you can only give away so much money, right?
Well, I don't know. They're talking about doing it again.
Yeah, well, hey, it's free money, and you'd be a fool not to take it, right?
And I saw today that that McConnell's on board for it. That old rhino, Republican in name only, says, yeah, well, with the riots, I think we're going to need some more money. So anyway.
Yeah.
Don't get me going.
Yeah, me neither.
Don't let me get going.
Yeah, I'll try to stop us both. I'll try to contain us both, Mickey. We both feel the same way about it. So onward and upward. So we have our lesser markets now.
Yeah, Toronto Stock Exchange continues to lag, was up 2.8% to 15,193. A lot of this has to do with the fact that the Canadian oil business has completely collapsed.
Imploded.
And imploded. And it's also metals dominated, natural resource dominated. On the other hand, the big winner for the month was the Toronto Venture Exchange.
Yes,
and
I saw that.
We thought it would trickle down from the major gold miners, which are up something like the GDX is up 80% since it bottomed on March 19th.
That is correct.
Toronto Venture Exchange, it's trickling down very, very fast. Up 16 to 21 days over the month, and over the last couple of months, it's up 38%, closed at 554. That 38% pales by comparison to my junior portfolio, about 90% of which is venture exchange listed companies. I'm up a whopping 76% over the last 2 months. And it's the reason that you need to find a good newsletter writer who knows how to pick stocks. And so I'm tooting my own horn there.
Well, for good reason. And mine is up a similar amount. It's been really hot. And silver has been going up. And, well, we'll talk about that. We will talk about the metals. It's pretty amazing how it's gone up. So the emerging markets, where were we at there?
Lagging behind. China's still in big trouble, in my opinion. Chinese Communist Party's greatest fear is the people. And the people are rebelling in Hong Kong. They've got concentration camps out in Xinjiang province, which I've worked in about 15 years ago. The economy is starting to come back, but they're being blackballed throughout the world community because of the spread of the coronavirus, which they obviously exported out of China. What they have not been able to do is recreate their export economy, because with the collapse of world economies, at least temporarily, no one wants their products. They got no markets. So we'll see what happens. That said, that index was up 5 points, 0.5% gain. It's at 930, you know, and you got to go back way into 2017 to see these sorts of consistent levels in the emerging market index. And the VIX was trickling down all month. It closed at 27.5, but this is still historically high. I went in and looked at our 30-year database since the VIX was conceived in January of 1990. Only 12% of the volatility index values have been this high over a 30-year period.
Oh, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? So, yeah, so it's come down a lot, obviously, went up to
81. Oh, yeah, but it's still historically high, that's the
point. Yeah, 81 it went up to one day. All right.
Well, I think it was 88 one day, Kerry.
Yeah.
Actually, it was 89.5 one Friday, because I remember when we did the weekly.
Yep, you're correct. So, all right, so let's look at our money here. Where did the dollar wind up?
Dollar was down over the month. It was pretty volatile. It was well over 100 at one point. It closed at the very low end of its range at 98.3, down 0.7%, really. And it had to do with the strength of the euro, which closed at 111, up 1.3%. But tell me why. Why is the euro stronger? That consortium of countries is a complete mess. I'm on record saying this virus epidemic, pandemic, whatever you want to call it, is going to lead to the collapse at some point of the European Union, or facilitate that collapse. 10-year T-bond has settled into a range that is at its all-time low of somewhere between 0.6x and 0.7%. Closed the month halfway in between at 0.65. That's up a tick from last month, but here's some friendly advice for those that still hold long-term treasuries. Sell your bonds. Okay.
Yeah.
They ain't going higher.
How can they?
Quite some time. Move into cash, move into gold, move into stocks. You're not going to make any money with 10-year treasuries right now.
Yeah, I don't see
And
how.
Finally, Bitcoin is on a 2-month win streak, Kerry.
Yeah.
I think that's a trend. The trend is your friend.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, closes at 95.28. Up 8.5% on the month. We have to go all the way back to the summer of 2019 to find 2 months in a row when Bitcoin was up.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Well, you know, that's Bitcoin for you. And when it breaks 12,000, then we'll think about it. But until it breaks that point, I don't think it's going anywhere. But let's look at our metals, which were quite impressive this month.
Metals had another good month. Gold, safe haven demand, even though we are in a very risk-on environment. Gold's been going 2 steps up, 1 step back, closed at 1729, up 2.5%, after touching a plus seven-year high at 1748, closed last week. Silver still has a lot of catching up to do. It tried to do some of that this month, closed at 1784, up 19% on the month. But, man, it's still got a long ways to go to get any sort of normalcy to its ratio with gold. Platinum is now above 800. It's been couple of months since it was at this level, close to 822, up 7%. And palladium appears to have settled in, at least for the last couple of months, at the low 1800 level. It closed at 1860, down 2% on the month. Meanwhile, copper was considerably stronger. We've been looking at a fairly consistent uptick on copper over the last half of the month. Closed at 242, up 7 cents. There's a tug of war going on right now. Supply disruption versus demand disruption. And for those interested in my short-term analysis of the copper market, my friends at Kitco just posted our latest Mercenary Musings radio podcast entitled Dr. Copper's COVID Conundrum.
Yeah, I did see that, and a very good title at that. So
I got to give full credit to my radio host, my interviewer, Rob Graham, for that title this month.
All right, so let's go on to energy. A real interesting month there, too.
Yeah, well, after the debacle of futures collapse, future contract collapse, at the end of April, the oil market actually made a very nice recovery. WTI closed at $35.49, up a whopping 88% on the month. But let's also remember where it started the year at over $61.
Yes.
The recovery is really driven by production cuts worldwide, OPEC plus, which means plus Russia. U.S. shale production economics are not there. It's dropped from 13.2 million barrels a day about, 6 weeks ago. It's now down to 11.4 million barrels a day. Rigs are down year over year, something approaching 75 to 80% right now. Not much more than 200 drill rigs operating in the U.S. That is about half of the previous all-time low from Baker Hughes Drilling, and those numbers have been tracked since 1940, Kerry.
Wow.
Anyway, U.S. storage crunch was resolved this month, so futures contract was intact. Brent was up almost 40%. But it is trading now at less than WTI, 35.33 on Friday and the end of the month. And we'll talk a little bit about that when we look at our ratios at the end here. Henry Hub down a dime on the month to 185, 5% loss. This is the slow season, May. So we would expect the Henry Hub numbers to pick up a bit as the air conditioning season kicks in throughout the country here in the 1st of June. And uranium was stable at 35.10. It's been very much range bound, plus or minus 34 bucks. Since about the middle of April. Here's a factoid that should scare anybody that's concerned about America's dependence on unfriendly foreign governments for our metals resources. U.S. 2019 imports of uranium to keep our nuclear reactors producing electricity, 20% electricity produced in the U.S., 48 million pounds.
Wow.
U.S. production, 174,000 pounds. 42% of those imports come from Kazakhstan, Russia, and Uzbekistan. That's scary, Kerry.
Not a good situation there for sure. And well, hopefully something will happen at some point. So what about our ratios here?
Gold silver ratio went below 100 for the first time in 8 weeks, closed at 96.9. If it weren't for the last 8 weeks of ratios, that would still be an all-time high for the gold-silver ratio. We'll jump over to the energy ratios. Brent to WTI at just a tad less than 1.0, This ratio has not been below one since the oil boom in the first half of 2008, right before the commodities crash. And that was a period when WTI reached its all-time highs of greater than $130 a barrel. WTI to Henry Hub more than doubled, or just about doubled, from last month's ratio of 9.7, closed at 19.2, more in tune with recent history. And the gold to WTI ratio was down 45% from its all-time record, which we already talked about, of 89.5 at the end of April, closed at 48.7. But Kerry, that is still the fourth highest ratio ever.
That's remarkable. Remarkable. These markets are still messed up and they're still gyrating.
Absolutely.
And we can only imagine what it's going to be like next month when we resume our analysis. But in the meantime, hey, take a listen. Take a look at Mickey's site, mercenarygeologist.com, Twitter feed at mercenarygeo. Take a look at our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and of course, our Twitter feeds at Kerry Lutz. Mickey, we'll pick up where we left off next month.
Look forward to it, Kerry.